When I was converted at the age of 16, I literally knew nothing about Christianity. I had never stepped foot into a church. I didn't know any of the Bible stories. I didn't even know the guy on all the crosses that people wore was Jesus. My ignorance was very, very high. So when God opened my eyes to the gospel and saved me, literally all that I knew was that I was a sinner and that Jesus went to the cross to pay for those sins. And it was only through him that I had received forgiveness. And what I had come to realize later on in my Christian life was that my lack of knowledge, and early on in my Christian life, my lack of involvement in a strong local church had left me in a vulnerable position. This vulnerability had essentially ensured that I would remain a gullible, naive, unstable, immature Christian. Now, in this period of time, about 3 months after I was converted, I met a member of a local, well-known cult who explained to me from Peter's first sermon at Pentecost that one has to be baptized in order to receive the forgiveness of sins. Now, this guy had me completely convinced by tearing one verse of the New Testament out of the context of Scripture. My immaturity and my lack of knowledge essentially exposed me to spiritual danger in the same way that a child's immaturity exposes them to physical danger. Now, sadly, soon after this, I was talking with another new believer who told me that he hadn't been baptized yet. And to my shame, I declared to him in a flippant and rather uncaring way that he was not truly saved. And in one instant, this man went from joyfully, excitedly recounting his salvation story to me to a place of fear and doubt. In one instant, an instance of my immaturity, I robbed this man of the joy in his newfound salvation. Because of my immaturity and my lack of knowledge, I had brought an instability in the form of doubt and fear to this brother. And I communicated this error in an uncaring, arrogant way that ultimately caused harm to a member of the body of Christ. And this is what I learned from this experience, that maturity for the body of Christ matters to God, and it should matter for us as well. I believe this is the point of our text today in verses 14 through 16, that God's great purpose for the church is maturity in Christ. God's great purpose for the church is maturity in Christ. And I want us to dig into this text today to see that immaturity and instability are characteristics that are to be increasingly left behind as the people of God. Because God's goal for the church is that we grow up into Christ, that we keep growing, that we become Christ-like, and that we're to be working together as the people of God to build up the whole church towards our goal of being like Christ in all of his perfections. Maturity in Christ matters so much for us because it's through the church that God's purposes are being fulfilled on earth. Our maturity matters. It's through the church that God is filling the earth with Christ's rule. And I want you to stop a moment and ponder this thought with me. The role the church plays in God's global and even cosmic plan to redeem creation is of epic proportions. This is why maturity matters for us as a church, because our role within the church and the church's role in the world is absolutely critical in accomplishing the purposes of God on earth. It's through us as the church that God is going to extend the rule of Christ into all creation? And have you ever considered that? And does that make you go, wow, when you hear that? It should. Because we're not just doing church here. We're not just doing something that we meet together on Sundays and this is what Christians do, but we're united together doing something that is of massive, eternal significance for us, the people of God. And I do not want you to miss this. I don't believe the Lord does either. Our individual maturity matters. The strength of our church matters. And the reason is the church is the means that God has given to fulfill and further his purposes here on earth. God's united us together. He's given us this great purpose as a church, and he's calling us to grow up into Christ, into maturity. I believe from our text that God is giving us three ways that we're to grow up into Christ. And let's look at the first one right now. God wants us to grow up into Christ by speaking the truth in love. Verse 14 begins by creating and drawing our attention to a contrast between our goal of maturity and what we are to avoid. Paul essentially is saying in verse 14, he said, don't be spiritual children. Instead, be mature. He's saying, don't be tossed around like a cork in a stormy sea, driven by the various teachings of man, but instead be stable. He's saying, don't be influenced by what is fashionable or cultural. Instead, be discerning. Don't be deceived by the intentionally deceptive schemes of man. Instead, Paul says, resist manipulation. We aren't to be like spiritual children because our childlike instability will bring about a corruption in the church and weaken us in the church and keep us from our great goal of growing up into Christ into maturity. And we need to think hard as a church about this kind of warning. We need to be discerning and consider what this kind of immaturity might look like for us here in Covenant Life Church. Now, using the metaphor Paul uses of a storm-tossed childhood, I believe we can see three dangers for us as a church. The first would be a slow drift away from biblical convictions and priorities because of our ignorance. Now, maybe you've had the thought when you're thinking about something that Covenant Life does or values or teaches, and you've been kind of dismissive and thought, well, that's just the Covenant Life thing. I'm not really sure if Scripture teaches that or not. It's a danger if you end there. You need to go to God's Word and explore God's Word and inform your mind as to why we do things as a church, that it really is informed by God's Word. Second danger can be a tendency to act on feelings instead of evaluating decisions in light of Scripture. Now, perhaps you at one point in time have engaged in immorality with someone who's not your spouse because you were in love. Or perhaps you've refused to reconcile with a brother in Christ because of feelings of anger that you hold in your heart towards them. Or perhaps you've lied and concealed sin in your life because it would be embarrassing to disclose it. Friends, that's a danger to us. That's a mark of immaturity for us that we're not to engage in. And the last danger would be a cultural pressure that involves a consistent watering down and diminishing of truth that moves us towards compromise. Now, while you might not be listening to outright false teachers, you most certainly are being exposed to ideas that are man-centered, that are unbiblical, that are contrary to the life of Christ-like maturity. We need to be discerning and recognize that so much of what we hear and so much of what we see and experience in our culture, Paul says, is cunning and deceitful schemes. These ideas that can be contrary to Scripture. We need to engage our culture with our eyes open and be discerning. The wording here of verse 14 of cunning schemes of man and deceitful manipulative schemes, it should intensify our awareness that there's a purposefulness on the part of humans and even a spiritual purpose to draw God's people away from the truth, to draw us and distract us away from our goal of maturity in Christ. We need to discern that we really do face ideas and arguments and worldviews every day that can undermine biblical faith and sow seeds of doubt. We really will encounter people who either maliciously or intentionally are seeking to draw us away from Christ in a way that preys on weakness or ignorance or immaturity, that seeks to manipulate us. The distinction between the definition of maturity in verse 13 and immaturity in verse 14 is really clear. God's saying, don't be a spiritually immature child. Instead, be mature. Be like Christ. Grow up into Christ and become increasingly mature. And folks, by God's grace, this is God's plan. And this is God's destination for us as a church. He's doing this work in us, but we need our eyes open to the fact that he is doing it and that this is our purpose so that we pursue it more. Because we're called to build in our lives and in our church towards a maturity that's defined by a possession of the character of Christ in us, that's defined and exemplified by wisdom and discernment that we exercise, that's defined by the unity of faith that we have with the church of Jesus Christ. And it's defined by a depth of knowledge about Jesus Christ. It's this kind of maturity that's going to ensure a stable, fruitful life and witness. But how do we do this? Well, looking on to verse 15, I believe Paul begins to clue us in our method. He begins by highlighting the sharp difference between the picture painted in 14 and the picture painted in verse 15 that we're to pursue with the word rather. Rather. That should get our attention when we see that. He's essentially saying instead of childlike instability, this is what should characterize you as the church. Rather, speaking the truth in love. Instead of error, there's to be truth. Instead of deceptive manipulation, there's to be love. These are the two things that begin to fill out and shape for us maturity in Christ. Speaking truth and love. So our method of growing up into Christ-like maturity is speaking the truth in love. Now for us, this might be one of the more commonly used phrases as Christians, as believers, and one I think as a result that can sometimes be misapplied. And I've been guilty of this in my own life. And thinking about this verse, there's a couple ways that I've misused this verse I wanted to bring you in on so you don't do it as well. So, you ready? So, telling it like it is, using speaking the truth in love to basically, hey, tell them like it is. Like, hey, brother, you need to get over it because she doesn't like you. I'm only telling you that because I'm speaking the truth in love, bud. Not quite what Paul's talking about here. Or in a corrective sense. Like, man, you totally blew it when you did that, and I love you too much to not tell you. It's not a corrective phrase. Another common mistake is simply Paul's giving us a simple reminder, like, don't be harsh. So when you speak to someone else, do it truthfully and do it in love, okay? It's not quite the sense that Paul is communicating to us of what kind of truth we're to be speaking. Because this is the problem. If we don't know the kind of truth that we are to speak to one another, we're going to be diminishing the means that God has given to us as a church to grow. Because Paul is talking about a particular form of truth. There's something specific here. This verb speaking, it can mean speaking, it can be doing, it can mean living out. But I believe in the context of our verses here, looking back at verse 11 of the word-based teaching gifts, And in verse 13, the knowledge of the Son of God, both as means to build up the body. I believe it's best to see what Paul is describing here as a verbal testimony about God, and in particular, about Christ. We can see this even more explicitly in Ephesians 1:13, when it says, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So the word of truth is what? It's the word about Christ. The truth as it pertains to Jesus Christ. This is the truth that we are to be speaking to one another. We're called to be speaking the truth of the gospel to one another. The very word that's described as the belt of truth in Ephesians 6 is the word that's to be on our lips, that we speak to one another. So, as we gather together as a church, as we meet, and as we talk with one another, what should be on our lips is the glorious truth about Jesus Christ. The fact that he accomplished our salvation in his death and resurrection on the cross, in his merciful grace that he's poured out onto us, in the ways that he has assured us an eternal salvation based on his finished work. This is what is to be on our lips. Speaking the truth about Christ is going to help us love Christ. And it's going to help us mature in Christ. Now, one of my favorite things about what I get to do in my job is meeting with my care group leaders. We meet a couple times a month in their accountability groups. And recently, I was meeting with them and was just observing them care for one brother in the group who is struggling with an ongoing pattern of sin in his life. And here's the great thing about what I observed these men do. They were repeatedly pointing him back to Christ. They were reminding him of the forgiveness of sins that he has not earned, but that God has graciously given. They were reminding him of his unending union with Christ and preaching to him the power of God in the gospel to both save him and to both change him and help him to grow. It was a sight to see, because their heart, their purpose behind it was to not just give him a list of practicals and how-tos, but was to arm him with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to cause him to grow up into Christ. It's the gospel, this word about Jesus Christ that is the power of God. And this is what we so desperately need as a church. And the goal of their speaking to him wasn't a theological exercise. It was because they love him and because they want to see him love Christ more. And this needs to be the goal of all of our fellowship, to speak the truth about Jesus Christ so that we will love Jesus Christ more. So whether you are discouraged in the pursuit of your sanctification, or whether you're struggling going through a current trial and suffering, or maybe experiencing a dark time of despair, or whether you're just having a simple conversation in an everyday kind of way with a friend after care group, the thing that needs to be on our minds that we communicate with our words is the truth about Christ in the gospel. The fruit that will come as we do this. The stability it will bring into our lives as we do this, the growing knowledge of Christ that will be grasped as we do this, is going to deepen the work of maturity in us. If you want to grow in maturity in Christ, ask your friends to talk to you about Christ. If you want the church to grow in Christ, preach to us the good news about Jesus Christ. And we do this because we love one another. I really believe that the most loving, kind thing that you can do for me is to remind me about how good God has been to me in sending his Son to die on the cross, to bear the wrath of God that I had incurred, The kindest thing that you could do is point me to the reality of my forgiveness of sins, that Jesus bore the wrath of God, and that I stand before God, not just forgiven and declared righteous, but accepted in his sight, adopted as his son. That's the kindest thing that you can do. I believe that's the most loving thing that we can do for one another as a church, because we don't want to communicate truth without love. We don't want to communicate the message about Christ in a way that's reduced to a cold orthodoxy that's harsh and that doesn't win anyone. So let us be a church that loves by calling each other to believe in, to trust in, and to know in greater ways the good news about Jesus Christ in the gospel. Maturity is our goal. Speaking the truth about Christ is the means to that goal. It's going to cause us to grow up in him in every way. Now, number two, God wants us to grow up into Christ by depending on Christ and each other. I believe verse 16 is clearly revealing to us the connection that we have with one another through our shared relationship with Christ. It says we're joined together as a body through him. Jesus is the one that we're increasingly to become like. He is the one that we're to submit to because he is our authority and our head. He is the source of our life, the means and the cause of our redemption, and the one who sustains us and brings us life. Jesus Christ is the source of all of our spiritual life and nourishment. And as a result, as the body of Christ, we are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. He supplies all that we need. All that we need to grow in maturity. Each of us as a church, as a whole, we're utterly dependent upon Jesus. As Spurgeon says on this point, the church of God lives because Christ lives, and its life is entirely derived from him. If there were no Christ, there would be no church. And if there is anywhere a body of professors without vital union to Christ, they are not a church. They may have the name of a church, but they are assuredly dead. The Spirit of God flows through Christ into the whole of his true church, permeating every part of his wonderful, mystical body. So church, I want to exhort you, look to Christ. Seek him, love him, declare your need for him, and recognize that he's the source of all your grace that you need. It's from Christ that this whole body, verse 16 says, the whole body has been joined and is being held together by every point, joint. That's Christ is doing that. It's through this being joined together that we've also been joined to one another. Because we've been joined to Christ, we've been joined to his body, to one another. Now, Paul's continuing this physiological metaphor of the body. He's saying we are muscle, tendon, and ligament in the body of Christ that's interconnected and dependent upon one another to be working properly, to be growing in the ways that we ought to be. The metaphor Paul is using is meant to illustrate a simple idea. It's through the connectedness that we share with Christ and with one another that we grow. John Piper puts it another way. He says, growth happens through points of contact. The corporate building happens through our connectedness. It's because of our connectedness that we are dependent upon each other. Now, Christ gives us the spiritual nourishment that we need, but it's through each other that this life travels to us. It's God's intention that we be dependent upon Christ and each other, because it's through our dependence upon both that we grow in maturity. So you, your fellow church members, your care group leaders, and your pastors are the joints, the ligaments, the arteries, the blood vessels that channel Christ's life to one another. And doesn't this heighten the importance of the church in your minds? We're connected. The life and grace of Christ travels to us through one another. And this dependence we share, it sheds more light on Paul's discourse on the body in 1 Corinthians 12. We cannot any longer say as members of the body that we have no need of each other or that we do not belong to the body of Christ. Both of these are lies. Both of these are contrary to the way that God has interconnected us to one another and to Christ. So if we say we don't need each other, if we say we don't need the church, we're saying we don't need Christ and we don't need the grace that comes to us through his body. Individualism may be an American ideal, but it's not a biblical one. Individualism for the Christian is a mark of immaturity. So let me ask you, do you view yourself as a vital means and supply of grace and spiritual life to the whole church? Do you view yourself this way? God does. God says that you are in his word. Each of us, if we are united to Christ, we are united to the body and are involved in this process of growth. But we can only do this through the points of contact that we have with each other in the church. And this is why we make such a big deal about these points of contact through our communion with God. In meeting with him, in reading his word, and praying to him, and why we make such a big deal about the gift of fellowship and caring for one another and meeting together. It's because it's through these points of contact that we grow. This is how God has ordained it. This is God's purpose. This is God's intention of how we will grow up into maturity in Christ. It's through this connectedness and this dependence that we have upon one another. And this dependence we have on Christ and each other, it should heighten our awareness of the vital necessity of us being committed members of a local church. It's true that the whole church needs you, and it's true that you need the whole church. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you need the whole body, and the body needs you. The more we embrace this role in helping the church grow up into Christ, guess what's going to happen? The more growth we're going to see. The more we see our vital role in playing this part, the harder we're going to work because it raises the stakes in our minds. It's not a big deal if I don't show up. If I don't go to care group, no one's really going to miss me. Or if I'm not here on a Sunday morning, it's a big meeting. Doesn't matter. Your role within the body of Christ does matter. God has ordained it. God has ordained that grace travel through him to you, to us. Your role is vital. From church members to care group leaders to pastors, each of us are dependent upon Christ and dependent upon each other for the life and nourishment that we need to help us grow. And this points out to us our third point. God wants us to grow up into Christ by working and building together. Our dependence on Jesus and each other, it reveals the responsibility we have to Christ and to one another. Verse 16 talks about a responsibility that we have to work properly as an individual part so that the body grows and builds itself up in love. And this phrase, working properly, simply means each doing our part, doing the work that's been assigned to us. We share this responsibility to see the body grow and to build the church. And we've already learned last week in verse 7 that grace has been given to each individual member of the body of Christ. For what? For what purpose? To help us build ourselves up in love, to help the body of Christ grow into maturity. These gifts are to be used as means to bring grace to the body of Christ. So as a result, we're called to work properly, using the gifts and the grace God has given us. And we each have our own role within the body of Christ. And this is God's great purpose, to see us grow. And this is why it's so important that we know our purpose and that we be working hard at it. What God is teaching here is that our responsibility to work properly, it's not necessarily about us or even just what our gifts are. It's so much bigger than that. Our responsibility is to be working for the good of the whole church. Not just for yourself or for your small group or for Covenant Life, but even for the entire body of Christ. So, yes, discern what your gifts are and use them diligently. That is important. But do not forget the intention behind the gifts. God's purpose in giving us this grace and these gifts to us as individual parts is to cause the entire church throughout the world to grow so that the glory of Christ and so that the rule of Christ would be extended throughout the world. Each little part working with the grace God provided is doing an eternal, cosmic, massive, worldwide work of building up the body of Christ. So it's so much more than pursuing maturity ourselves. It's so much more than just helping our care group grow in maturity or even seeing Covenant Life grow. And all these things are important. But as we grow, we need to recognize the church grows. And as Covenant Life Church grows, the church around the world is growing and being strengthened. And what you do in the church to help us grow, God is using to build the church throughout the world. Wow! So much bigger than, what's my gifts and how do I use them? Lord, what are my gifts? I'd be putting them to use to build up the church throughout the world for the glory of God. So I want to exhort all of us together to be individual parts working properly to help build the church and to do this first by praying. I don't want us to miss this. So pray for your spiritual needs so that you grow up into Christ into maturity. But I want to encourage you to pray as well for your care group. Not just individual needs within your care group, but pray that your whole care group, as you speak the truth and love to one another, would grow up into Christ. Secondly, I want to encourage you to pray for your entire ministry sphere, whether you're in the singles ministry, married ministry, youth ministry. Pray for that entire ministry, that it would be characterized by a growing love for God, a growing grasp of the knowledge of the Son of God, a growing appreciation and ability to talk about Christ with one another. Third, I want to encourage you to pray for all of Covenant Life Church. Pray that we would, as a whole, as a church, the witness, the thing that would describe us and characterize us the most is that we love Christ, and it's demonstrated by how we talk about Christ with one another. And then I want to encourage you to pray for the church throughout the world. Friends, I can't tell you how much faith God has given me in the little role that I am to play in my care group and in the singles ministry. And in Covenant Life Church, as I've been praying for the church throughout the world and praying for little churches in Africa, in Vietnam, and in oppressed countries, praying that the church of Christ would grow, that this body that I'm connected to, that I am a part of, that these people whom I've never met, as I do my part, as I grow in maturity in Christ, those people, those churches, and the church throughout the world are growing up into Christ. God has ordained it. It's God's purpose. We need to see that and celebrate it, so pray for it. He wants us to be a people who are motivated by love to build one another up, to see each member, each care group, each pastor, each church, each church in each country and the church throughout the world to grow up into Christ. And this just simply begins by us taking up our individual responsibility to build, to work together, and doing this because we love the church that Jesus Christ established, that we love the church in the same way that he does. He treasures us. He loves us. He gives us all that we need to help us grow. And we're to love it and treasure it in the same way. And this body of Christ, the glorious thing is that it's still growing. We're not done yet. Our work is not finished. As God adds more and more people here, guess what? We have more work to do and more building to do together. He wants us to take up our responsibility he's given us, to work with the grace that he provides, and to build the church together, to cause it to grow. So where do we start? Well, very simply, start by embracing your role in the lives of the people around you, in care group, in your family, in your ministry sphere, in the church. Embrace your role to speak the truth about Jesus Christ to one another. And do this so that none of us would be children. None of us would be drawn away from the truth, but that we would be stable and discerning and growing. Secondly, we can start by rejecting a me-first mentality in our life. This me-first mentality distracts us from the part that we're to be playing as a whole within the church. So whether it be in care group, or in church, or in the workplace, or in your family, or in the community, remember that your role isn't to get grace for yourself, but it's to build the church of God with the grace that God has given you. And remember that we're participating, you and I, each and every one of us, in a cosmic, eternal, massive plan of God to build and mature the church. And then thirdly, recognize your need for others. It's a simple fact, something that we say constantly to one another. God has ordained our need for others because we need grace from others, from Christ. So don't decide that you don't have a need for the body, because guess what? I need you. I need all of you. And you need all of us because we're connected to one another, because Christ gives us grace. So imagine with me what this will be like as we grow in this, when each member takes our responsibility and works hard with the grace that God provides. Imagine the joy that will be simply contagious every time we meet together. Imagine the faith that God will impart to us to endure through every hardship. Imagine the courage that will be given to us to live for Jesus Christ. And imagine the witness that it will create to the watching world as we speak and love and build each other up in Christ. Imagine that. That's God's burden for me and for you, Covenant Life Church. Can you imagine the difference that I could have made in that new believer's life had I been a member of a local church working properly? Imagine if I was dependent on Christ and my local church to train me in how to speak the truth in love as a new believer. Imagine what could have happened if I had simply gone to a pastor and said, "This is what I just heard. Is this true?" Imagine that instead of discouraging this man, instead of tearing him down, I could have built him up. I could have protected him from error. I could have reminded him of the grace of God in saving him. I could have been a means to impart spiritual life and encouragement to help him grow up into Christ. This is why it's so important for us to grow in maturity. So friends, let us be a church who are faithfully working together in order to build up the church. Let us be a church who are remembering our complete dependence upon Christ and one another. And let us be a member of the body of Christ who are faithfully speaking the truth about Christ to one another so that we're no longer children and so that we grow up in every way into Christ, our Savior.